Excellent choice, Brother Dennis. Try to make your job easy. And on that note, after singing about Jesus, let's read the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. Take out your Bibles, please. Go over to John chapter 14. And I want to start reading with verse number 1. Here in John 14, Jesus will very soon be betrayed by Judas, then arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and eventually crucified on a cross for the sins of the world. Those dark moments are soon about to take place, and in an effort to comfort his apostles during this time, he says in John 14 and verse 1, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places or many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, when you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." As we begin our study this morning from the Word of God, I want you to take a moment to really kind of ponder and process what the Lord is saying in those verses. Let me ask you something. Out of all the wonderful things that the Lord says in these verses, what stands out to you the most? In other words, what strikes you? What really jumps off the page at you? Is it by any chance what he says in verse number 1 about having a troubled heart? I mean, do you have a troubled heart this morning? Is it what he says about believing in God and believing also in him? Is it what he says in verse number 2 about how there really is a place that is called heaven? And how in that place there are many mansions or many dwelling places? In other words, in heaven, there's enough room for all the people of God. In heaven, there's enough room for me, and there's enough room for you. There's enough room for everybody who wants to follow the Lord. What about what he says in verse number 3? What about the promise there to come back one day and receive us to himself so that where he is, there we can be also? I mean, that's certainly one of the great promises of the Bible, right? What about what he says in verse number 6? Let me ask you something. As you read verse number 6 with me, hopefully very carefully, how sold are you on what the Lord claims in that verse? How confident are you in that verse? How much of your life are you willing to give to Jesus because you really believe what he says in that verse? I ask you that question because, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Out of all the claims that the Lord made in his life, what he claims in that verse has to be among the most controversial. It has to be among the most politically incorrect things to say. It has to be one of the main things that makes people in our time the maddest. Going back to verse number 6, I want you to notice how in that verse, the Lord leaves no middle ground in what he wants people to believe about him. I want you to notice how in that verse, Jesus makes it very clear that he doesn't want people to believe that he's just a good man, or he's just some rabbi or good moral teacher, or that he's just some great philosopher that popped up onto the scene in the first century. No, brothers and sisters, here Jesus totally eliminates any of those kinds of erroneous ideas that people have about him. Here Jesus makes it very clear that when it comes to himself and when it comes to us and when it comes to us going to heaven to be with God, Jesus himself says that he is the way. He is the way. That is, he is the way to heaven. That is, he is the way to the spiritual promised land. That is, he is the way to this place we're all trying to get to as the people of God. Jesus says that he is the way to eternal life with God in heaven. And please understand that when he says he is the way, the implication of that is he is the only way. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to eternal life with God. I mean, he emphasizes that both in the first part of the verse and in the second part. Notice how after he says, I am the way, he then says, no one comes to the Father, that is God the Father, no one comes to the Father but through me. Notice, brothers and sisters, how if we're going to make it to heaven at all, it's going to be because of Jesus. And only because of Jesus. Notice how Jesus here makes it very clear that he is the roadmap to heaven. He is the GPS to heaven. He is the key to developing and maintaining a relationship with God. Those are the clear implications of what the Lord is saying there. And as I said earlier, that claim certainly makes a lot of people in our time mad today. In fact, it actually reminds me of a YouTube clip that I saw from the Oprah Winfrey show a couple of years ago. Now, let me just say straightforward, I've never been a big fan of the Oprah Winfrey show. Didn't watch it a lot back when it was on. But a couple of years ago, I did come across an interesting clip from the show that had to do with the subject of religion. In fact, on this particular show, the question was raised to the studio audience, is Jesus really the only way to heaven? Is Jesus really the only way to God? Is following Jesus really the only way to live a life that pleases God? That was the question that was posed to the studio audience on this day. And thankfully, there was a woman in the audience on this occasion who answered this question just like you and I would. In other words, she answered the question with a yes. She said, yes, Jesus is the only way. She said, yes, he is the only way to heaven. No other way is going to cut it. In fact, she even quoted this verse when she said it. She answered the question just like we would this morning. But almost immediately after she gave her answer, there was another woman in the audience on this occasion who said, no, she said, absolutely not. She said, there's no way that could be true. She said, there's no way that Jesus could be the only way to heaven. She says that if there really is a place called heaven, then there has to be many different ways to get there. There can't just be one. I mean, you may have your way to lead you to heaven. And the person up the street may have their way that leads them to heaven. And the person across the globe in Africa or Asia or Europe, they may have their way. There can't just be one way to heaven. That's what another woman who was present that day said. In fact, brothers and sisters, that is what Oprah Winfrey said. You see, it was Oprah Winfrey who said that there's no way Jesus could be the only way to heaven. She's the one who said, I believe there has to be many paths to God. I certainly don't believe there's only one way. There couldn't possibly just be one way. That's what she said. The question is, who are we going to believe? The question is, are we going to believe Oprah? And don't get me wrong, I like Oprah. I like that she's a successful American. I have no problem with that. But the question is, when it comes to this particular issue, and I'm just talking about this issue, who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe Oprah, or are we going to believe Jesus? Are we going to believe somebody who was born on January 29th, 1954, or are we going to believe somebody who's been around from eternity? Are we going to believe somebody who made all things and knows all things and has no beginning and no end? Who are we going to believe when it comes to this issue? Because Jesus and Oprah are clearly not saying the same thing. They are clearly contradicting each other on this issue. Oprah says that there can't be just one way to heaven. There has to be many different paths. And Jesus says, no, there's just one. There's just one path, and it's through me. Jesus says, if you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to have to go through me. I am the GPS to heaven, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Moses, not Joseph Smith, not Ellen G. White, not ourselves, and our own good works and our own righteousness. No, if we're going to make it to heaven at all, it's going to be because of Jesus, and it's only going to be because of Jesus.
Amen.
It's going to be because he is the only Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. It's going to be because he's the only Savior. He's the only Son of God. He's the only Christ. He's the only head of the church, which is the spiritual body of saved people. Brothers and sisters, no matter how many different religions are created in this world, and no matter how smart people may think they've become, the gospel truth will always be that Jesus is the only way to heaven. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, as Brother Tristan read for us earlier, here the Apostle Peter said, and there is salvation in what? In no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Notice how at the core of the message preached by Peter and Paul and James and John and the rest of the apostles is the fact that there is but one way to heaven. There's but one person who can save us, and that is the Son of God. That's Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And brothers and sisters, I'll never be ashamed to tell people that. I hope you'll never be ashamed to tell people that, no matter how politically incorrect it may sound, the gospel truth is Jesus is the way. He's not just a way, but he is the way. He says he is the way, but not only does he say he is the way, a second thing he also says is he's the truth. He says, I am the way and I am the truth. And what a radical thought that is, especially when you think about it in our culture today. I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters. It is no secret that we are currently living in a postmodern society, right? In other words, we're currently living in a society where for a lot of people, they don't believe in absolute truth. They don't believe that there is a thing such as truth, especially when it comes to religion, especially when it comes to morality. You see, as each day goes by, more and more people have bought into the notion that when it comes to truth, truth is relative. Truth is subjective. In other words, what may be true for you may not be true for me. What may be immoral to you may not be immoral for me. I mean, you may have your version of what the truth is, and I may have my version of what the truth is, and that's okay because there's no such thing as truth. We can't really know what truth is. That's what a lot of people believe. That's what a lot of people are promoting in our society today, and yet I want you to notice how when it comes to what Jesus promoted 2,000 years ago, Jesus taught the total opposite than that. Notice how when it comes to Jesus, Jesus says there is such a thing as truth. Jesus says that truth is real, that it does exist, that it is reality. In fact, he says that when it comes to truth, he is it. Jesus says that he is the truth, that is, he is the source of truth. That is, he's the one who came into the world to reveal truth. That is, when we follow him and do what he says, we can know that we're doing what is right. We can know that we are following the correct standard. We can know that we're following the right moral standard. We can know that we're following the true will of God for every single person. Jesus says that he is the truth. The question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that this morning? I want to submit to you that we have to believe that if we're going to really make it to heaven. And so I'm listening to what Jesus says, or I'm reading what Jesus says in John 8. John 8, beginning with verse 31. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, as Jesus spoke to some Jews who believed in him, he says, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And you'll know the what, verse 32. He says, and you will know the truth. And the truth will what? The truth will make you free. Notice that Jesus says that if we really want to be set free from our sins, if we really want to be set free from the bondage of iniquity, if we really want to make sure that we're not in allegiance with the devil, then we got to do two things. First, we got to know the truth. We got to read the truth. We got to study the truth. And we got to know the truth. And once we know the truth, we must continue in the truth. We must continue in the words of Jesus. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says we got to continue in the truth, because at the end of the day, the only thing that really matters is what he has said. Let me tell you something. No matter what laws may be passed in our society, and no matter what moral shifts our culture makes, and no matter what new doctrines and church creeds are invented, the only thing that really matters in the big scheme of life is what Jesus has said. The only thing that really matters is what the Lord has revealed from heaven. His standard is the only one that really counts. It's the only one that really counts because it's the truth. It comes from heaven. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It is the standard that we're all going to be judged by on the last day. Let me tell you something. On the last day, when we stand before God, you're not going to judge us by the standard of culture. He's not going to judge us by the standard of men. He's not even going to judge us by our own standard. He's going to judge us by the standard of Jesus. His standard is the only one that really counts. And as our society, as it continues to shift its standards like the wind, we need to always remember that we can stand firm on the standard of Jesus. We can stand firm on what he has said about morality. We can stand firm on what he has said about family and godly living. We can stand firm on what he has said about things like marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And about how looking at another with lust is equal to adultery in the heart, and how we need to forgive people and love people, even love our enemies. We can stand firm on what the Lord has said about those difficult issues. And we can also stand firm on what he has said about salvation. We can also stand firm on what he has said in Mark 16 and verse 16, when he says he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, because Jesus is the truth. We can trust with absolute confidence that, contrary to what men in the world may say, we got to be baptized in order to be saved. We got to be baptized in order to be right with God. We can trust that that is truth because Jesus says so. It doesn't matter what Billy Graham may have said, or Joel Osteen, or T.D. Jakes, or Creflo Dollar, or any other preacher out there in the world. What Jesus says is the truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, and I'm the truth. But not only is he the way, and not only has he revealed truth, but the third thing I want to close with is this. Jesus also says he's the life. He's the life. That is, he's the source of all life. That is, he's the source of all physical life because he is the creator. But more importantly than that, Jesus is also the source of all spiritual life. He's also the source of real life, eternal life. He's the source of being able to live even after you die and exit out of this life. While you're still in the Gospel of John, I want to show you several verses just from the Gospel of John where Jesus says this. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse number 27. After miraculously feeding thousands of people with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread, in John 6 and verse 27, Jesus is trying to get these folks to get their priorities straight because they're seeking him out again just so they can get a free meal. They're thinking about just physical food. And so in John 6 and verse 27, Jesus says, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. Go now to John chapter 10. Look at John chapter 10. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10, as Jesus speaks to his people, John 10 and verse 10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they, my people, that they may have life, spiritual life, and have it abundantly." Look over at verse 28 and verse 28 of that same chapter. As he talks about his sheep, he says, "I know my sheep and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish, and no one ever will ever snatch them out of my hand." And then look at John 11. In John 11, before raising Lazarus from the dead, and after Martha, the sister of Lazarus, confessed her belief in the day of resurrection. In John 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Notice how here in all these verses, we find the same thing being promoted. Here from all these verses, we see that when it comes to Jesus, he has something to offer us that nobody else can. Unlike anybody else on this planet, unlike anybody else in the history of the world, only Jesus can offer us spiritual life. Only Jesus can offer us real life. Only Jesus can offer us a life that extends far beyond the one we are experiencing right now. Jesus says, "I can give you eternal life." And I got to tell you that is something very different than what a lot of people in our society want us to believe, right? In fact, that's very different than what the atheist wants us to believe. You see, when it comes to the atheist, when it comes to the person who denies the existence of God, you know what they want us to believe? They want us to believe that this life we experience right now, it's all there is. They want us to believe that we have one life, and it's the one we live in right now. And once we die, that's it. We're just like Rover dead all over. That's what the atheist wants us to believe. In fact, listen to what world-known atheist Richard Dawkins has to say about the matter. Richard Dawkins is probably the most popular atheist in the world today. And he says this about death. He says, "Once we die, our brains will decay, and that'll be that." In other words, there's no life after death. Once you die, that's it. Your brain's going to turn into dust, and that's going to be that. Stephen Hawking, who was considered to be a genius before he passed away about a year ago, he said this about life after death. He said, "That concept is just phooey." He says that, "I think that the conventional afterlife is a fairy tale for people who are afraid of the dark." Do you feel insulted this morning? And then Bill Nye, you know Bill Nye, the science guy, right? He said this about life after death. He says, "Once you die, there's nothing afterwards. So what you got to do is you got to live this life as best as you can." That is what these brilliant men of academia have to say about the matter. The question is, who are you going to believe? Who am I going to believe? Are we going to believe what these men have to say about the issue? Or are we going to believe what Jesus says? I ask you that because clearly Jesus and these men are not saying the same thing. They're clearly contradicting themselves. I mean, Bill Nye and Richard Dawkins, Stephen Hawking, they say that this life is all there is, and once we die, that's it. But Jesus says that after we die, there is more to come. Jesus says that once we die, he has the power to give us eternal life. Who are we going to believe? I want to suggest that we need to believe Jesus. I want to suggest that we need to believe Jesus over these men, not just because I said so, but because Jesus backed up everything he ever claimed and everything he ever taught by being raised from the dead. Stephen Hawking died about a year ago, and guess what? He's still in the grave. Jesus was raised from the dead and seen all over the place. And the Apostle Paul had this to say about that in Romans 1 and verse 4. Paul says that because Jesus was raised from the dead, that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. Listen to what the Apostle is saying. Lord, it's how because the Lord was raised from the dead. Because that can be verified as a historical fact. Paul says we can trust Jesus. We can trust everything he said in his ministry. We can trust that he's everything he claimed to be. He is the Son of God. He is the Lord. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Savior. He is the only way to heaven. We can trust everything he said about the afterlife. We can trust that there is life after this life, that there is coming a day of resurrection, that there is coming of judgment day, that there are places really called heaven and hell. We can trust that because Jesus raised from the dead. And we can also trust that he's the source of eternal life. We can also trust that if we believe in him and humble ourselves before him and just do exactly what he says, he will be faithful to us. He will give us what he has promised us, and that is eternal life. That is a crown of life in heaven with God. Now, before we go into our invitation, I want to show you one more thing in the scriptures. And I want to leave you with this in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. I want to encourage you with these words from the apostle of God, someone who knew Jesus and someone who saw him raised from the dead. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." Notice how because the Lord was raised from the dead, as the people of God this morning, we don't just have hope. The Bible says we have a living hope. We have a real hope. We have a legitimate hope. We have a hope that is worth more than all the treasures of this world, because we serve a Savior who has the power to give us life and life everlasting. That's the gospel truth, ladies and gentlemen. As we get ready to go into our invitation, I just want to ask you, where are you this morning? Where are you this morning as you sit there in the pew? I mean, this morning as you sit there in the pew, are you someone who's lost in your sins? Are you lost in your sins right now? Are you someone who needs a Savior? Do you need someone to save you from sin? Well, if that's what you need, then I want you to know something. I want you to know you don't need to look any further than Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus is the only Savior. He is the only way, and he is the truth, and he's the only one who can give you eternal life. But you got to come, and you got to come to him on his terms. You got to believe in him. And you got to repent of your sins, and you got to obey his commandment to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are faithful to him, then he will be faithful to you. He will give you what he has promised you on that last day. And if we can help you come to him, it'll be our pleasure. Let us help you with that right now. Let's stand. Let's sing.